Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may not eat fruit from the tree in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who also was with her, and he ate it. And in the book of Matthew, verse 1:20, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'The virgin will be with child, and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.'"
And Luke continues to write how these events unfolded in chapter 1, verse 26. "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be, but the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.'" And Luke continues in chapter 2. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" Thanks be to God.
I have something I want to tell the children this morning. If you're under 10, would you stand up wherever you are so I can see you a little better? Oh, there's a lot of you. Thank you very much. Now keep standing for just a minute, okay? There's something I want to ask you and tell you this morning. How many of you remember the story of Pinocchio? Raise your hand if you do. How many of you big people remember the story of Pinocchio? Raise your hand if you do. Thank you. Do you remember, kids, what happened to Pinocchio every time he told a lie? What happened? His nose grew. Thank you, Kirk. That's right. His nose grew a little bit longer and longer until what? His nose was way out here, so far that he probably couldn't even touch the end of it. Now, I want to ask you kids if you remember someone else. Are you still standing? Okay. Do you remember George Washington? Who was George Washington? Yes, I see that hand. He was the first president of the United States. That's right. Do you remember that when George Washington was a boy, maybe the age of many of you, that he chopped down a cherry tree? Do you remember that? And do you remember that his daddy came to him and said, George, did you chop down that cherry tree? And what did George do? Did he tell the truth? Yes, he did. He did. Not like Pinocchio. He told the truth, didn't he? And he admitted that he had chopped down the cherry tree. Some children are like Pinocchio, and they don't tell the truth. And some children are like George Washington, and they do tell the truth. But you know what, boys and girls? I've got a secret for you. It's the same with grown-ups. Sometimes they're like Pinocchio, and sometimes they're like George Washington. But what I really want to tell you all this morning, boys and girls, is that it's the same way with angels as it is with children and with grown-ups. Some angels lie, and some angels tell the truth. Why, boys and girls, do you know who the first angel was that we read about in the Bible? I bet this is a trick question. I bet you don't know. Anybody want to say? Yes. Yes, but how did he come to us? He said, Lucifer. How did we see this angel? Anybody remember from what Mr. Zanstra read a few moments ago? Yes. As a snake. Can you believe it? The first angel was a snake. And what did he say? Oh, it's worse than all, let me tell you. He lied to Eve by telling her that she would not die if she disobeyed God and if she ate the fruit that God had told her she must not eat. Now, kids, this was not a small little fib. This was a huge lie. Because when Eve believed it, it affected all the rest of us ever since. And even though today some angels are real liars still, the good news is that some angels do not lie. Now you can sit down if you're still standing up, because I want for a few minutes to catch your mom and dad up on a few matters about angels that I think most of you already know. And it might be helpful to them if they, who really do know less about angels than you do, if we were to explain a little bit about what the Bible teaches about angels. And as you boys and girls know, angels are messengers from God who know God face to face. And therefore, they are on an order higher than men. But angels, the Bible tells us, are also creatures, and therefore they are susceptible to temptation and sin. Angels are spiritual. That is, they have no flesh and bones. The Bible tells us that angels never marry, and they don't have babies like we humans do. The Bible also tells us that angels can be present in great, huge numbers in very small spaces. And boys and girls, as you know, angels are invisible unless there's a reason why they want to become visible. They are personal beings, and they are endowed with intelligence far greater than we human beings. Angels, as we've already said, are messengers of God. They bear God's commands and His messages, His tidings to the world. The Bible tells us that they bring help and aid to human beings. The Bible says they watch over believers. The Bible says, and you'll be glad about this, boys and girls, that they protect little ones. Yes, the Bible says that in Matthew 18. And the Bible says, are you ready for this, boys and girls and moms and dads? The Bible says that angels are present in the church. Angels also conduct missions of military assistance. They're spoken of as an army, a host of mighty heroes, ready to do the Lord's bidding in the toughest of situations. Now, evil angels exalt themselves over God in rebellion against Him. Satan, or Lucifer, as you said, the chief of the darkness, was in fact the bad angel of Genesis 3 that we read about a few moments ago. He was the one who started all the angels that revolted against God. He was their leader. And in this revolution, the angels that were evil were bent on destroying the work of God. As he attacked Eve, the bad angel is called the tempter. As he attacks man in general, he is called the destroyer. As an arch foe of Jesus Christ, our Lord, he is called the adversary. And as one who ridicules and belittles believers, he is called the accuser. And as controller of the evil world, the Bible speaks of him as the prince of the air. These angels, Jude, one of the writers in the New Testament, says, are chained to the nether gloom of hell. Doesn't that sound mean? And John Calvin, boys and girls, one of the great men in church history, said that everywhere that those bad angels go, they drag their chains with them. One more thing about angels, both good ones and bad ones. Unlike Pinocchio, they are, as you boys and girls very well know, they are real. Some angels, like the snake of Eden, tell lies. But some angels do not lie. What truths do good angels tell us? Well, we read about some of them this morning, didn't we? Like the angel that spoke to Joseph in a dream when his fiancée Mary was found to be with child. The angel said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." The birth of the baby Jesus, the angel says, would be a miracle. It would be what we call supernatural, boys and girls. That is, above nature, better than nature, not just according to nature. And Joseph isn't to be afraid to take Mary as his wife. And Joseph learns from the angel that what happened to Mary is not shameful. It's miraculous. And what was produced in Mary's tummy was produced by the Holy Spirit. And boys and girls, you know that a parent shares the characteristics of both his mother and his father. And so Jesus was conceived and born with characteristics both of his father, God, and his mother, Mary. And that's why we call what happened to Jesus when he was born a virgin birth. And parenthesis for mom and dad, it really should be virgin conception, because that's really what it was. And some adults have lots of clever ideas and theories about the manner of this conception. But we should focus on what the Bible tells us to focus on about it, and that is the results of it. Namely, that the child born to Mary was God wrapped in human flesh. Think about the word incarnation. That's what we're talking about. That God was incarnate in the body of the baby Jesus. And that the birth of this child was out of the bounds of what is natural. It was supernatural. Isn't that a great word, kids? Supernatural. Everybody say it. Supernatural. And it was a supernatural birth because this baby had a supernatural task to do. A supernatural birth for a supernatural job. And the job that this baby was to perform, as the angel tells Joseph, was to save the people from their sins. Boys and girls, do you know that that's what the name Jesus means? It means Savior. The task of this baby was to save us from our sins. And the sadness of what happened back in that garden with that evil angel and with Eve is that when Eve and Adam rebelled against God, what came of that was that all of us, fell into a state where we, by nature, just do things that are bad and that displease God. And that this problem had to be overcome by the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. Now, here is a bit of something that's really hard to think about, even for your moms and dads. So I'm going to say it very slowly. Jesus had to be God for the sacrifice that he made of himself to be perfect. Because only God can make a perfect sacrifice. But he had to be human for the sacrifice to be effective, to work, because only flesh can die. And the angel told us that Jesus was to have a supernatural birth for a supernatural job that he had to do. Some angels do not lie. Another angel that didn't lie is the angel Gabriel. And we all know about Gabriel. We read about him in the Gospel of Luke, which Mr. Rucker read from just a few moments ago. Luke tells us there that God sent Gabriel to Mary in Nazareth, a little town in Galilee, maybe a town like Waxahachie. And the angel Gabriel told Mary that she had found favor with God and that she was going to have a boy, a son, and name him Jesus. And Gabriel gave a description to Mary of what this baby was going to be like. He said he was going to be great, and he was going to be the Son of God, and he was also going to be the son of David, the great king. You remember David the king, boys and girls? Well, Jesus is a king like David. God chose David to be a king after his own heart. And ever since, Israel was looking for a king like David. In fact, the whole point of having a king like David was to give us a preview of coming attractions. A preview of the great king that God was going to send his son, who was to be the King of Kings, a king who was after God's heart because he has God's heart. So you might say that David was warming up the throne for Jesus. But there's a very important difference between David and Jesus. David's reign would end, but Jesus' reign will never end. And Gabriel tells Mary that he will reign forever and his kingdom will never end. And even though we don't fully see this kingdom yet, boys and girls, the promise of Jesus is that it's going to come fully and completely one day. And you know what? Some angels do not lie. Look at one more angel who did not lie. This was the angel that went to the shepherds. This was the angel that went out on a cold night, kind of like these cold nights we've been having around Christmas time this year. And these shepherds were out in the field and they were keeping watch over their sheep. And an angel appeared to them. And as Mr. Rucker read, the shepherds were scared out of their wits. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, because I bring you great, great news. I bring you the best news that you've ever heard. I bring you the kind of news that you've been waiting to hear all of your life." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel. Lots of angels. Beaucoup de angels. Angels everywhere. Praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men with whom God is well pleased." Remember, I said that the chief function of angels was to praise God. Well, that's what these angels are doing. They're having a great, big, huge praise party. And their praise takes two forms. One, they praise God for the peace which Christ the child is going to bring to God's people. The birth of Jesus brings peace. Peace that in the Bible is symbolized by a lion lying down and having a nap with a lamb. And all of creation restored to harmony. It's a peace that begins in our lives now because we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace that the angels talked about was the peace ultimately that exists between God and men who are reconciled. God is reconciled to us because of Jesus and what he did. You see, back in that garden, boys and girls, God had every right in the world to be angry with us forever and to cut us off from him forever. But instead of doing that, God sends his son so that he can be reconciled to us and we can have peace with him and we can know him and we can be his sons and his daughters forever. And the second part of the angels praising God was to declare his glory, forgiving such a Savior. Glory to God in the highest! Can you imagine what it must have been like to have thousands and thousands and thousands of angels all saying that together? Glory to God in the highest. Everybody say it, all different times. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Imagine that 1,000 times louder. Imagine that just filling a starry night. That one's got it. You know, sometimes when we talk about glorifying God, it doesn't sound all that great. But you know what? I have the feeling that we don't even begin to understand how great it is going to be to glorify God forever and to sing his praises forever and to shout and have great joy because of the wonder of what it is that Jesus did for us. This really hints at two other angels, who are the last two I'm going to mention, who, like the others I've mentioned, do not lie. These are angels who spoke about Christ when he went to heaven to be with his Father, after he lived and after he died, and after, by God's power, he was raised from the dead, and he stayed among his people for quite some time, and then he went back to heaven. And when he went back to heaven, there were two angels there who said to the disciples who were looking up in heaven like this. And the angels came along and they said, "Men of Galilee," in other words, men of this earth, "keep your feet on the ground. Why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come again in the same way you have watched him go." Which I think means that we should expect that one day this same Jesus who was born a baby, who grew up among us, who died, who rose again, and who was lifted up into heaven, this same Jesus will come back down with his same body from heaven, and one day his feet will touch the earth again. Some angels do not lie. The angel of darkness lies to us as he did to Eve. He tells us that even if Christ lived, he can't be a savior. And he tells us certainly he's not Lord. There's more important things to be about in this world. Get busy. Look important. He tells us that the kinds of things that Jesus did just simply cannot happen. And he really tells us that things just keep going on and on and on in the same way. That's called the uniformity of cause and effect, if you want to know. And he tells us that Jesus will certainly not come back. Do you know what Jesus called this angel? The father of lies. But please remember that the angels that spoke to Joseph and Mary, the angels who praised God at the birth of Jesus, and the angels who promised his return, are speaking the truth. My little Carrie's sick this morning, boys and girls, so she had to stay home from church. It's no fun to be sick on Christmas Day, is it? When I left home with Chris this morning, my wife, Barbara, who many of you know, was standing in the hallway of our house to say goodbye. And you know what? She had tears in her eyes. Do you know why? Because she'd been listening to some music. And do you know what the words of this music said? Let me read them to you. "That night, in all of heaven, there was not a sound as God and the angels watched the earth. For there in a stable, the Father's only Son chose to give himself through human birth. And when the cry of a baby pierced the universe, once for all, men were shown their worth. And the heavens exploded with music everywhere. And the angels spilled over heaven's edge and filled the air. And the Father rejoiced, for he did not lose his Son, but he gained to himself forever those who'd come." Can you imagine, boys and girls, angels spilling over the edge of heaven? They're so excited, kids. They just can't keep their place. They're kind of like you sitting in those pews. They just got to dance a little. They just got to move around a little. Because it's just plain thrilling to think that the Father rejoices because he didn't lose his Son when he sent him to earth. Instead, he gained to himself forever those of us who would come. Boys and girls, listen. Will you come to Jesus this morning? Boys and girls, will you give your heart to Jesus? Boys and girls, will you believe that Jesus was born for you and that he died for you and that he gave his life for you? Boys and girls, will you believe with all your heart that some angels do not lie? God bless you, and Merry Christmas.